Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Baba Kama, Daf Ayin Ches. We had done a double Daf yesterday, so we are ready now on Ayin Ches Omer Aleph. Nine line downs from the top, Ayin Ches Omer Aleph. We're learning, continuing to learn for the safety and success of Tzahal, all the Kochos HaBitachon. They should be safe, they should be successful, they should bring back the Chatufim speedily and in good health. They shouldn't be tortured, they shouldn't be suffering anymore. B'ezus Hashem, there should be peace for all of Klal Yisrael. Okay, so as I said, we pick up the Gemara, 8-9 lines down from the top, Ayin Ches Omer Aleph. Yesterday's shir, we had discussed the word seh. The word seh, different pasuk according to Rashi versus Tosos, the word seh comes to exclude kilayim. The Torah tells us, for example, you need to bring a carbon that is a seh. It cannot be a carbon that is a kilayim, a mixed breed, a hybrid animal that is, let's say, a goat and a sheep combination. So you can't have such an animal brought as a carbon. So the word seh, we said Rava taught us, excludes a kilayim, a hybrid animal. So the Gemara now questions this. Ella, hard to my Rava, that din that Rava taught us, ze bona av, that it's a binyan av, that we generalize, because it says in one place, seh, to exclude kilayim, so every place it comes seh, to exclude kilayim, so binyan av, kol mokum shenemar seh, eno el lahotzi asi kilayim, so lamai hilchasa. Which place do we actually say that this binyan av that Rava teaches us is necessary? Because as we went through yesterday, and we'll go through more today, most of the time, the word seh is not needed to teach us to exclude kilayim. Because, l'may hilchasa, under what circumstances do you say that we need the word set, the binyan av set, to exclude kilayim? If you're going to tell me, by kachim, that you're not allowed to bring a hybrid animal as a carbon, I don't need a binyan av for that. Behedya kesibhu, shor, o kesev. It says, bedafka, you can only bring a shor, or you can bring a kesev. It doesn't need a separate pasuk to exclude a kilayim. Prat l'kilayim. This definition over here of shor o kesev, we had said yesterday the word o comes to exclude kilayim. Therefore, I don't need the binyan av. The word o does that for me. Oh, you're going to tell me it's to teach me that e l'maiser. Maiser here means maiser behema, that you're not allowed to bring a kilayim if the tenth one that comes through is a kilayim animal, so it cannot be brought as a carbon as maiser behema when you have the new births in the flock in that year, in that calendar year, although we divide it up into three sections, but it's really all in that calendar year. So we have them all go through the corral, and you go count 1, 2, 3, you get up to 10, you slap it with the red paint, and that animal is normally brought as Meiser Behema. But if it's Kilayim, so you can't bring it. So maybe the Seh Binyanav is coming to exclude Meiser Behema being Kilayim. So the Gemara says, no, I don't need it for that, because I have Xer Shabbat, Tachas, Tachas, Yolof Mikachim. That we have the word Tachas written by Meiser Behema, we have the word Tachas written by the din of Kachim Sharo Kesev, and therefore this Gzei Rishava comes to compare the two. And even though it doesn't actually say the word Seh by Maiser Behema, but because of this Gzei Rishava, we learn after din that just like Kachim can't be a Kilayim, so too Maiser Behema can't be a Kilayim. Oh, so that can't be why we need the Binyanav. So Gemara says, okay, maybe it's Libichor, E Libichor. If you're going to tell me that we need this Binyanav of set to exclude a Bechor from being Kilayim. So the Gemara tells us, no, I have the words Havara written by Bechor, and I have the word Havara written in regards to Maisa Behema. So that Gzei Rishava, Havara, Havara, you all have to be Maisa. It teaches me that a Bechor can't be Kilayim from the din of Maisa Behema. So again, I don't need the Binyanav of set to exclude a Bechor that is Kilayim. Alternatively, there's another way to exclude a Bechor that's Kilai, because we have already excluded a Nidme. We spoke yesterday, a Nidme is an animal that's born from two parents of the same species, but it doesn't look like either of the parents. So you have a cow and a bull as the mother and the father of this baby calf, but it doesn't look like a baby calf. It looks like a goat. It looks like some other animal. That's called a Nidme. So we can learn out the din that a Bechor can't be Kilayim from the fact that if it's a Nidme, it can't be brought. Because Inami, Nidme Amislo, we said that a Nidme is not allowed to be brought as a Bechor, because we learned out, they'll say, ach bechor shor. The pasuk says it has to be a bechor that is a shor. So, ad shei hu shor u bechor shor, that the parents have to be a shor, as well as the animal that's born has to be a shor. And that excludes a nidme. And therefore, if a nidme is excluded from the din of bechor, and a nidme is a less of a chiddush than a kilayim. So if we don't allow a nidme, so then certainly kilayim, I wouldn't need a pasuk, I wouldn't need a drasha to tell me the kilayim can't be brought as a bechor. If a nidme, which is a kosher animal from both parents, can't be brought as a bechor, so then a kilayim, which is two separate species of the parents, it's a hybrid, certainly that can't be brought as a bechor. So again, where do we need Rava's din that a says a binyanav to exclude kilayim? So where it says, oh, elo kiit ma de rabba. Rabba's binyan av is needed le'inyan peter chamor, to teach us that the firstborn of a donkey has to be redeemed. Called peter chamor tifteh b'seh, so it has to be redeemed with a seh. That seh cannot be a kilai. It did not. Like we learned in the Mishnah Bechoros, the Mishnah Bechoros tells us, ain poldin, you're not allowed to go and redeem the peter chamor of a donkey with lo be'egel. You can't go and use a baby cow, velo bechaya, and it can't be one of the kosher animals that is, one of the seven kosher animals that isn't a domestic animal. It's one of the chayos, a gazelle, a deer, an ibex, or possibly a giraffe. So those can't be used to go and redeem the peter chamor. It must be a seh. Velo b'shchuta, you can't take a seh that was shechted and go use that to redeem it. Velo b'trefa, you can't use a seh that has simoni trefa, it has one of the 18 signs of trefa, you know that it's a trefa, and you can't use that to go redeem a donkey. Velo b'kilayim. Oh, here, the Mishnah tells us that we don't have a drasha for it. This is where Rava's binyan av must come in. You can't use kilayim, a kilayim animal, to go and redeem the peter chamor. And finally, it concludes, and you likewise can't use a koi, velo b'koi. A koi is unclear what it is. There are three different definitions. It's two of them are dealing with hybrid animals, one with a behema and a chaya, others with a behema and a behema, or it's a birya b'fnei atzma. In any event, this koi doesn't fit into the definition of seh. And therefore, all of these in this Mishnah and Bechoros are excluded from being the pigeon of a Bechor, and therefore we don't have a source for the kilayim. Oh, this must be Rava's binyanav to teach us that a kilayim doesn't fulfill this obligation of kol peter chamor tifteh b'seh. It must be a seh and not kilayim. Shmuel says, that's great if you hold like this Mishnah. However, Ulu Rabbi Elazar, the Tana Rabbi Elazar, dematu b'kilayim, he says that no, you can go and be poled in the chamor with kilayim, because we learn in that very Mishnah, Ditnan, which continues and tells us, Rabbi Elazar, Mata b'kilayim mipnei shu seh. He doesn't agree with this binyanav of Rava. So what do you say for Rabbi Elazar? Does he totally dispense with Rava's binyanav, or does he use it for something else? So the Gemara says, L'mai hilchus, according to Rabbi Elazar, where would he use this binyanav of Rava? Because he disagrees. He says it doesn't apply by the din of kilayim. So Amalach Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar says, I do agree with this din of Rava, even though Rava came much earlier, he's telling us about this din of Rava. Ki it mar de Rava, that which Rava said, that there's a binyanav, l'tomei shenolad min ha-tohor, v'iburo min ha-tomei. We're dealing here with an animal that is, quote, non-kosher, l'tomei, that's the definition over here of a kosher animal. It's not treif. In the vernacular, we always say it's a treif animal. So I always like to say that pigs aren't treif. And people look at me crazy and say, no, pigs aren't treif, they're tmeim. The pig is a non-kosher species, it's called a tame. Nothing to do with tumma and tara, it's just called a non-kosher species, it's called a tame. And a kosher species is called a tar. So Rabbi Elazar says that Rava's din is needed. This binyanav to teach me set is to come to exclude l'tame, a non-kosher animal that was born, shenolad min ha-tohar, the mother was a kosher species, the iburo min ha-tomei, but the father was a non-kosher species. So Rashi gives us the example. Para sheyolda sus, you have a female cow that gives birth to a baby that is a sus, because the father was a sus, the ov is sus. So here, right now, the Gemara is assuming that a cow is able to mate with a horse. So, parish yolda sus, this mother is kosher cow, the father is a non-kosher, a tmeya sus, and the cow gives birth to a sus, or a rachel, a sheep, a ewe, and the mother sheep has a mating with a pig, the aviv chazir, and the child that's born, sheyolda chazir, the aviv chazir. So, the child that's born is a pig, and the father was a pig. So, these, Rashi tells us, the osu b'achila. How do we know that these are osu b'achila? After all, the mother's a kosher animal. So the pasuk says, zos habemo asher tochlu, shor se ksavim, v'kivan d'chsiv se, prat l'kilayim, ki haigav nuhu. Oh, so this is where we learn out the din, that it must be a se, and not kilayim. So therefore, that's what Rabbi Elazar would say, that's where Rava's din applies. But this doesn't go in accord to Lokar Yeshua. This does not go in accord with the opinion of Yeshua, because the Rabbi Yeshua, if you can tell me it's Rabbi Yeshua, he says, no, we learn that out, mi sei sovim, the sei izim nafkale. He learns it out from the pasuk itself, that it says, ad shehei oviv keves v'imo kivsa. He learns it out that it must be the sei izim, teaches us that both the mother and the father must be the same species, and therefore it can't be kilayim. So he learns it out from the psukim themselves, and not with this drasha that Rabbi Elazar would use from Rava. Mor says, wait a second. according to Rabbi Lazar, the father, we just said, let's say was a pig and the mother was a sheep, a ewe, or the father was a horse and the mother was a cow and the baby is a horse. So in these situations, does this actually occur? Can you have a pregnancy between a father of a non-kosher species with a mother of a kosher species? That doesn't work. So Gemara says, yes, it does. In. Because we have to redefine over here when we meant that the father is of a non-kosher species. It just meant that the father wasn't kosher, but it's not that he was from a non-kosher species. The Kai Malon, as we've learned, and we turn to Ayin Chetz Omid Beis, the Iaber Mikolut Kirabi Shimon, that this is referring to a case that Rabbi Shimon had explained where the father was a Kolut. When we say the father was a Tmeya, it meant that he was a non-kosher animal of a kosher species. So, for example, the father had been born without split hoofs. The father was the product, let's say, of a mother cow and a father bull. So the animal that was born is a perfectly kosher animal, except that it doesn't have split hoofs. So this is called, according to Rabbi Shimon, still a animal that is a Tmeya, because it can't be eaten, because it doesn't have the simanim of a kosher animal. So according to Rabbi Shimon, we're dealing here where the father was a bull, it wasn't a horse, but the father was a bull that was born without split hooves. And in this situation, that's a Rabbi Elazar, holding like Rabbi Shimon in the definition of this Tmeya, would use the drasha of Rava to say that Seh comes to exclude such an animal. It has to be a non-kilayim animal, and this animal would be called a kilayim animal. So therefore, that's where we would need the drush. Okay, now Rava asks the following shayla. By Rava asks, Harei alai ola. If a person says, I obligate myself to bring an ola. Again, we had explained that this means that he personally has this obligation. And even if he designates Bessie to go and be his ola, if something happens to Bessie, she gets a heart attack, she's lost, she's stolen, so then this person still has the obligation to bring such a carbon. So, Rava asks the following shayla. A man says, Hare alai ola. I'm obligating myself to bring a carbon ola. The hifri shor, he designates a certain shor. He designates Bessie to go bring his carbon ola. And then somebody comes and steals Bessie. Uba acher, a ganav comes with ganav and goes and steals Bessie. So, mi potar ganav nafshei bekeves lirabonon. According to the opinion of the Chachamim, Rabbanon, we'll see in a minute who the Bali Plukta are, would you be able to go, this Ganav, he wants to do tshuva. So he says, listen, I stole your carbon ola. It was a cow, which is a very nice carbon. But I'm going to go and return to you a keves. I'm going to give to you a less expensive sheep. And you can go and bring that as your carbon. Would that satisfy the Ganav's obligation to return what he stole, according to the opinion of the Chachamim? Now, this is specifically the Chachamim because, as opposed to the Olas Ha'ov, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, because Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah goes one step further and says that the person could fulfill his obligation not only with an animal offering of a lower value, so instead of a cow, which was designated, he would return a sheep, or according to the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, even a bird Ola would satisfy the requirement. When the person said, Arei Alai Ola, he could even bring a bird Ola to satisfy his requirement. And this is a Mishnah, the Menachos, where we have this machlokas between the Chachamim and Rulas Azariah. If a person says that not, the person says in that Mishnah, Harei Olai Ola, if a person says, I obligate myself to bring an Ola, so Yavi Keves, he's allowed to go and bring a Keves according to the Chachamim. So that would fulfill his obligation, even though it's not the most expensive type of an Ola. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah goes one step further. Omer, he says, you could even bring a Tar or a Ben Yonah. Yavi Tar or Ben Yonah, the two types of acceptable birds, the Tar species and the Ben Yonah species, that would satisfy his obligation to go bring an Ola. So now, this is the question the Rava asks. The Ganav stole the more expensive cow, but he wants to return to this person that he stole from, either a sheep, according to Chachamim, or a bird, a Torah Ben Yonah, to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and say, listen, go bring this as your carbon, you'll satisfy your obligation, and you're no worse off than you were beforehand. Now, the argument against that is, well, the guy wanted to bring a very, very fancy carbon, a cow, and now he's going to bring either a sheep or a Torah Ben Yonah. It's not as nice a carbon. On the other hand, he is satisfying his obligation. So would this satisfy the Ganav's obligation to return what he stole? Because after all, he stole this person's obligation to bring an Ola, and he's returning this person's Ola, albeit in a different format. That's the question. My, that's what Rav is asking. Do we say, mi aminon, shame Ola, kabil ilave? The person who would accept upon himself to bring an Ola, the original owner of this cow, said, Harei Olai Ola, is now going to be able to bring an Ola. So he's okay. Or Dilma, or do we say no? Motzi Omar le, that this owner can say to the God of, listen, I know a mitzvah in a muvchar, but you know the bevar. I want to bring a really, really nice soul. I want to bring the mitzvah in a muvchar. I want to bring the optimal way to do the mitzvah of Hariel Iola, which is to bring a cow, and not to bring a lower value set, and certainly not a lower value Tor or Ben Yonah. So that's Rava's question. Now, when we say that the Ganav will fulfill his obligation, there's a machlokas what that means. Does the Ganav fulfill his obligation? According to some, it means he totally fulfills his obligation, and that's it. He doesn't have to do anything else because he stole an Ola, and he returned an Ola. Others say, no, this is only talking about the Kefel portion. Could he satisfy himself with the Kefel portion? But the principal, he still would have to go and pay back for the shore that he stole. In any event, leaving that aside, so this is Rava's question. Can the Ganav go and satisfy all or some of the repayment obligation by bringing a Seh according to Chachamim or a Torah Ben Yonah according to Elazar ben Azariah? So the more answers that Rav himself answered the question. Basu di baye hadar pasha. He himself asked the question and then he himself answered the question. And he said, Ganav poter atzmo bekeves l'rabbanan be'olas of l'rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. He says, in fact, the aspect that he has to fulfill returning in Ola can be fulfilled even though he doesn't return the cow, but he could return a sheep for an Ola or a Torah Ben Yonah, according to Rav and Isaiah, and satisfy the obligation of returning an Ola. Again, as I pointed out, either that's the full obligation, or it means that the Kefal obligation, albeit the principal, he'd still have to go pay back the principal value of a shor. This is the first version that we have of this statement or question of Rava. A second version is what Rav Acha braid Rav Ika Masi Lo Behedja, that Rav Acha, who is the son of Rav Ika, said this is a straight-out statement of Rava. And he just stated that Rava didn't ask the question. Rava just made a definitive statement. On my Rava, Rava said, if a person said Harei Olai Ola, and he designated a cow for his Ola, and then that cow was stolen, the Hifri Shor, he separated a Shor for his Ola, and somebody came along and stole that Shor, so that Ganav could fulfill at least part of his obligation to return the Ola. He said definitively, not as a question, but he said it definitively, straight out. Yes, the Ganav could fulfill the Ola return obligation with the return of, according to the Chacham, of a sheep, or according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, even a Tor or a Ben Yonah. Okay, next Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Mecharo chutz me'echad mimei yoshibo. Here we're dealing with din of Dalet V'hei in regards to Mechira. So, if the person who stole Nebuch the animal, and then he goes and sells it, but he retains a portion of the animal for himself. Tomorrow we'll discuss exactly what portion of the animal we're talking about. So let's learn it nice and simple. Right now, he sells an animal, but he retains a 1 in 100 share of that animal. So it's not a complete sale. And as we've already learned that previously, Tavacha o Mecharo has to be a complete Shechita or a complete sale. So we'll see, in this situation, you are not going to be chayiv dalid vehei. You'll be chayiv the kefos, though, because you're ganav, but you won't be chayiv the dalid vehei because you didn't do a complete mechira. So, mecharo chutz be'echad mimei shebo, then that's not going to be chayiv dalid vehei. Or, another case, shahaisa lo bo shutvis. But there's a partnership, and he stole. The simple understanding of here is he stole from his partner. So he's not stealing the full item, because he owns half of it. So you're only stealing half the item, so to say, and therefore, in this case, it'll only be kefal, but there won't be dalid vehei, because the mecharo has to be a complete sale or a complete shchita, and here, he owns half of it, so it's not a complete sale or shchita. So it won't be chayv dalid vehei in this situation as well. Likewise, the Mishnah says, Hashochet, if a person does the shchita, he's a ganav, and then he does the shchita, he does a regular full shchita. However, the nisnad lo biyodo, he makes it into a nevela. He doesn't do a kosher shchita. So, not only according to Rabbi Shimon, who says it has to be a shchita haruya, but here, even according to the Chachamim, he didn't do shchita. So, you kill the animal, that's not chayiv dalav hei. It must be shchita on the animal. And here, when you did the shchita and you made it into a nevela, he did one of the five actions of the shchita that aren't considered an acceptable shchita and make the animal into a nevela. So, ashoche v'nislav l'biyodo, or hanocher, or you just basically pierce the animal in the heart. That's one definition of nocher. Rashi tells us that the word nocher means koro manchiro ad libo. You pierce it and you cut it open in the front of the animal, the chest of the animal, so you pierce it. Or if you look at the source of Shas, he brings down that it means that you choke the animal, pirish chonko, that you choke the animal. Or the Mishnah continues, or ma'aker. Ikor, is Rashi says, is okir simonim. Instead of cutting the windpipe and the food pipe, you just pull them out. You didn't cut them, you ripped them out. So all of these are not valid forms of shchita. So therefore, in all of these situations, this last case, as well as the earlier ones that we brought down in the Mishnah, you pay Mishalim Teshul Mekevel. This is a regular Geneva. If you're proven to be a Ganav, so of course you pay the Kevel. However, in these situations where you sold it but left a 1 in 100 share, or you stole from a partnership that you're in, and therefore you didn't steal the whole thing, or you did an invalid Shrita in the sense that you made it into an Avela, or you just you pierced it in the heart area, or you ripped out the food pipe and the windpipe, and you didn't do a kosher shchita. In all of these situations, it's not shchita, it's not mechira, and therefore, ain't a mishalim tashlumi arba v'chamish. You don't pay dollar the hay. Now the Gemara starts off and asks us, what do we mean when you say that you retain the share of 1 in 100 in the animal? So we'll have a lot of different definitions of this. The Gemara starts off and says, "My chutz me'echad mimei ashbo." What is the Mishnah telling us that you retained a 1 in 100 share of this animal? So right away we have two Amarayim, Rav and Levi, that tell us different opinions, and then we'll bring down Tanoic opinions as well. So Amar Rav, Rav says, when it says chutz me'echad mimei ashbo, it means chutz midavar hanitar imo b'shchita. This comes to exclude that you left out of the sale something that the shechita would be matir. So, for example, you need the shechita to be matir, all the meat of the animal. So if you left out some portion of meat that would be able to be eaten with a kosher shechita, and that was not included in the sale, so Rav would say that's what it means, that you left out chutz me'echad mimei shebo. The lav dafka means 1 in 100, but it means you left out some meat. That's Rav's opinion. Levi Amar, no, it's even more than that. If you left out even chutz migizo sel, even some of the shearings, this is a sheep, and it has wool that's to be sheared, and therefore, if you sold it, with the exception that you're retaining some of the shearings, so then that also would not be considered a sale that you'd be chayiv dalid v'hay for. In the case of the sheep, dalid. Now we bring down a brisa that teaches us more Tanoic opinions, and we'll see that the Tanakama aligns with Levi, but Rav doesn't seem to have a partner amongst these Tanoim. And first we bring down a brisa that says exactly like Levi, so we learned in a brisa, that here the brisa says, beferish like Levi, that if you retained even the gizosel, even the shearings of the animal you didn't sell, that's not considered a full sale, and you would be chayv dal behe. So Levi certainly has brisa to support him, and now the Gemara says, Rav does not. Meisvei. Now Rav is a Tana Upalig. He could always say that Rav is a Tana, but we don't like to say that Rav is a Tana unless we're forced to. So here we're going to try to fit in with Rav with a known Tana opinion. So Meisvei, in this brisa, we have another Mandiyomer, another Tana that agrees with Levi, but we have no Tana that matches up with Rav. Now here we'll have four opinions. The brisa says, Meisvei, Mochra chutz miyada. Tanakama, the Brisa says, if you sold the animal with retaining, the Ganav retains the possession of the hand, or chutz miraglo, or one of the legs. The hands are the forelegs, and the legs are usually referring to the hind legs. Or chutz mikarno, or you retain the horn of the animal. Or chutz migizosel. This is exactly like Levi said, if you even retain the shearings of the animal, ainu mishalim tashlum da'arba v'chamisha. You don't pay dalav. Hey, this Tanakama of the Brisa is exactly like Levi. Okay, so Levi's going to have a partner in the Brisa. The next Tanoic opinion is Rebbe, Yehuda Nasi. Rebbe Omer, Dovar Ma'akev B'Shlita, something that is necessary for the animal to be a kosher shlita. In other words, it can't be missing something that would make it into a trefa. Then, if it's missing something that would make it into a trefa, and you retain that, so then that's called that you didn't sell the entire animal. Dovar ma'akev b'shchita, en mishalim tashlumi arba v'chamisha. It has to be some significant organ. You retain the heart, you retain the lungs, so then that would not be a mechira that you would have to pay dalav v'hay for. But v'she'eno ma'akev b'shchita, but if you were to go and retain something, which if this was done in the shchita, it wouldn't make the animal into a trefa. For example, you retained the lower part of the leg from the joint down, and you retained that, mi'akev osel, and lower, so then, in that situation, the animal would not be a trefa, so then that would not be makir the shechita. And therefore, in that situation, mishalim tashlumi arba v'chamisha. So Rebbe's opinion, Yehuda Nasi's opinion, doesn't go like Rav, because Rav says it just has to be a small piece of meat. And Rebbe says, no, it has to be something that's makir the shechita in order not to be considered a complete mechira. So Rav doesn't hold like the Tanakama, Rav doesn't hold like Rebbe. No, the next opinion of the Braisa is Rabbi Shimon Elazar. He says, Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, chutz mikarna. If the horn is retained, that is considered a not less than a full mechira. Now, Eino Meshalim, Teshumi Arba B'Chamisha, according to Rabbi Elazar, the Dalav Hei won't be paid if you retained even the horn. Now, chutz migizosel, but he disagrees with the Tanakama. He says if you retain the shearings, so then that would be considered a full mechira, and mishalim tashlumi arba chamisha, you would pay dalav hay. So this is not like Levi, and this is not like Rav. So Rav still doesn't have a partner in this brisa. So there are only three Tanaic opinions over here. The fourth Tanaic opinion we'll give later on. So Bishlam Levi Kitanakama. Levi is like the Tanakama. It says even if you retain the Gizo cell, that is considered a retention. However, El Rav Kiman, he doesn't like the Tanakama, he doesn't like the Rebbe, he doesn't like Rishimon Elazar. So the Gemara says there is a Tanaic opinion the Rebbe could hold like. Who is that? That is a second opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Gemara will ask the obvious question. We have a stira in what Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says. I'll say the two Tanayim that presented different opinions as to what Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar's opinion was. So here in this brisa it says Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, and this will be just like the opinion of Rav, the Tanya. It says in the brisa Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Machra chutz miyada, the chutz miragla, if you sold the animal, but you retained the foreleg or the hind leg, so then that's not dalave because that's considered a retention. Chutz mikarna, but if you retained only the horn, or certainly chutz migizosel, if you retained the shearings, then that is considered a full mechira, mishalim tashlumi arba chamisha. So you see, this Tanoic opinion, Rav Shimon Elazar, says that you have to retain some of the meat. That's exactly what Rav said, and therefore Rav is in accord with the second opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. So we don't have to say Rav Tanahu Upali. Now, the Gemara says, what are all these Tanoim arguing about that they have all these different opinions? What's the machlokas over here? So the Tanakam in the Braisa, he holds, Savar, the pasuk says, Utvacho, it means Kulo Bo'inan. When it says Umucharo, Kulo Bo'inan, it has to be a complete sale. So if you retain anything, even the Gizo sale, that's not called the full sale. And we have the Hekish between Tvacho, Umucharo. So therefore, the Dinam are the same for both of them. So that's the Tanakama, which is also Levi's opinion. Rebbe reviewed the Nasi, Savar, he holds, Utvacho means Midei Dehavi B'tzvicha. It means something that is connected to the Shechita. And therefore, the same din applies to the Mechira. Lafuki Midei Delohavi B'tzvicha. As opposed to something that isn't halachically necessary, so to say, for there to be a Kashu Shechita. And he makes a comparison, the Hekish between Tvacho and Mecharo. Umecharo Dumi D'tzvicha. So therefore, the seal has to be like the Shechita. Anything that is essential for the Shechita, so that's, if you retain that, the Mechira won't be a valid Mechira. But if it wasn't essential for the Shechita, so then, if you retain that, it's still considered a valid Mechira. And then we have the Bryce, or the first Bryce's opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. He holds Sabar, Kaina, the horns, the low Lemigzo Kaima. The horn's not supposed to be cut off. It's not waiting to be cut off. And therefore, heavy shear. That's considered a retention. If you didn't sell the horn, so that's called that you retained something in the animal, and therefore it's not a complete Mechira. Therefore, the Eino Mishalim, Tashlum, Arbo, the Chamish, you wouldn't pay Dala Behe. However, gizo sel, the shearings of the animal, the omed ligzos dummy, the migzes kaimi, it's waiting to be cut off, and therefore, lo heavy shear. That's not considered a retention, and therefore it's considered a full mechira. That's the first opinion that we have of Rishim and Elazar. Therefore, in that situation, where you just retain the shearings, ubashalim tashlum arbo chamishi pei dal behei. Do the second opinion, the idoch tana de Rabbi Shimon Elazar. What is the second opinion of Rabbi Shimon Elazar? That opinion holds sober as follows. Yadav v'raglav d'tzviche tzvicha. The foreleg, the yadav, and the raglav, the hind legs, that they require shlita in order to go and eat them. So, heavy shear. If you retain either the foreleg or the hind leg, you're retaining some basar. So then, that's not considered a complete mechira, and you wouldn't be chayav dal behei, below mishalim tishlumi arba v'chamisha. However, karneha, the horns, the gizosel, the shearings, the lo tzvicha tzvicha, you can take those without a shlita. There's no kashrus requirement over there to have a shechita. So therefore, if you retain those, that's not considered a retention, and you would pay dala v'hei, lo v'shir, and you would pay dala v'hei. So Gemara asks the obvious question. We have two opinions in Rav Shimon Elazar. How could that be? Kashi, the Rav Shimon Elazar, and the Rav Shimon Elazar. The first price that we brought down had an opinion that was different than the second price that we brought down as to what Rav Shimon Elazar's opinion is. And the Gemara gives the obvious answer. Trei Tanoim, Alib, the Rav Shimon Elazar. There are two different opinions over here. Two different Tanoim learned that they had heard from their Rebbe, Rav Shimon Elazar, differently. So maybe one of them is wrong, or maybe there is some way to reconcile it. But the bottom line is that there are two opinions for Rav Shimon Elazar. That's not a problem. Tanur Abadim, we bring out the following brayso, Hagonev Hakitas. If a person sells an animal that is missing one of its legs, it's missing one of the forelegs or one of the hind legs, or the Es HaChigeres, the Ganav stole an animal that is lame, or the Ganav stole the Es HaSum, he stole the blind animal, or V'chein Hagonev Behemas HaShutvin, or if you steal an animal of a partner, we'll have to explain what this is in a moment, and then you go went and did Mechira, so in this situation, you would be Chayev Dalud Vehei. Now, Vishutvim Shagonbu, but if two partners stole something, then Peturim, then they're Patur. Now, we have to explain over here what exactly this means, because here it says that Shutvim Shagonbu, they're going to be Peturim. But Vahatanya, we have another Braisa that is Shutvin Shiganru Achayavim. So what's going on over here? You have a steer between the two Braises. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman Lokasha, easy way to reconcile the two Braises. The first Braisa is talking about Kan Bishutov Shigana Mechavero. The first Braisa is talking about what one partner stole from his partner, and therefore he's not stealing the full animal. And as we said previously, you're going to be parted from Dalai Behe. So the Braisa that says the Shushim Shagan for Peturim is talking about one partner stole from the other partner. He didn't steal 100%, he's only stealing 50%, and therefore it's not going to be a complete Mechir. He's selling part of what he owns himself, and therefore that's why you're potter. Whereas the second Braisa is talking about Kan Bishutov Shagan of Mi'alma. We're dealing here with one partner who stole on behalf of the other partner as well. Rashi says that he basically appointed him as a shliach, whereas Tosos, now these Tosos are found in the Gemara in Bava Metzia, and Tosos there says, no, they basically did a joint hagbah. They both simultaneously picked it up, and that's what it means that the partner stole. In any event, however it was, that the partner stole, Kan Bishutov Shigan Me'alma. So there's no reason to say in this situation that the partnership shouldn't be chayiv dalad v'hei. So that's how Rav Nachman wants to reconcile the two. The Gemara says, however, Esi Rav Rav Nachman, Rav doesn't like this territory of Rav Nachman, and he questions it based upon the following. Yocho shutuv shigonav mechavero, v'shutuvim shigonvu yuchayovim. I might have thought that if one shutuv steals from his fellow shutuv, so shutuv steals from his partner, so he owns half of it, but he steals the other half, or you have two partners that stole something, shigonvu, that they will be chayiv dalad v'hei. So Talmud Lomar, the pasuk says, utvacho. You need to have a complete sale over here or a complete shlit over here. Tutvacho kulon b'inon v'leka. This doesn't fulfill the obligation that it be the entire animal is shechted in these situations where either he stole from his partner, so he's only shechting 50% of it, so to say, and this is different than the question that we had raised previously about chatzi dalad vehei, because here, when he stole it originally, he didn't steal 100%. In that case, we had the chatzi dalad vehei that we said you would pay chatzi dalad vehei, that's when the original thing was an entire sale, but then half of it didn't have to be paid, because he inherited half of it. And therefore, the half to himself, he wouldn't have to pay, but the half to his brother, who inherited the other half, he would have to go pay. So here, clearly, Rava says to Rav Nachman that your suggestion that you the shutvim that stole would have to go and pay the leka. They don't have to go and pay. So even if the partner steals from somebody else, they don't have to pay it. So your teretz falls apart. So Elo, I'm Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, you're right, that's not a good way to reconcile the braisa that it says, shutvim shigan v'peturim, we shutvim shigan v'chayavim. Elo, lo kasha, this is the way you reconcile it. Kan bishutov shetovach l'das chaveiro. The second braisa that said, shutvim shigan v'chayavim, that's when one partner may have shechted it, but he shechted it as a shliach on behalf of the other partner. So therefore, both partners are really shechting it, even though one is only actually doing the shlita, he's doing it on behalf of the other person, and therefore, in that situation, you'd be chayiv dalav hei. Kan b'shutav shetovach l'das chaveiro. So therefore, you're chayiv dalav hei. Whereas the first braisa is kan b'shutav shetovach shelo l'das chaveiro. They both stole it, but only one shutav went and shechted it. He's only shechting, so to say, half of it, and that's why there's no din of dalav hei, not on himself, and not for his partner. Bar Rav Yirmiyah says, m'chora chutz mishloshim yo. If you sold something, but you retained the rights to it to use it for 30 days. As Rashi says in Dibur Mas Chutz Mishloshim Yom, Esed Bo Melachti, I want to retain the right to work the animal for 30 days. Or Chutz Mimlachta, Rashi says, Im Tirtzel Shokta, if you want to go shecht it, Shechot Miyad. V'im Ta'ase Bo Melocha, Hamlochi Shali. If you want to buy it and shecht it, so then you have the right to shecht it. But if you're not going to shecht it, then I have the right still to work the animal. And the third case is what he says, chutz me'ibura. If this animal was pregnant, he says, I'm selling you the animal, but not the uber that's inside the mother. So in all three of these cases, Rav Yirmiyah asks, mahu, what's the loch? Is this called a complete mechira? After all, he is selling him the animal, but he's retaining some right to it, such as for the first 30 days I can work it, or if you're not shechting it until you shecht it, I can work it, or I'm selling you the animal, but not selling you the fetus inside. So Rav Yirmiyah asks, what's the loch? A complete sale? It'd be chayiv dalet v'hei if you're a ganav, or it's not considered a complete sale, and you're not going to be chayiv dalet v'hei. So the Gemara says, at least we can answer, Aliba demand the Omar Uba Yerech Imohu, according to the opinion that holds that the fetus inside is no different than any other limb of the mother animal, so then there's no question, Loti Bayaloch, because the Hoshirba. Here, clearly, if he said, I'm selling you the animal without the hind legs, so then it clearly would not be a Mechira. So, in that situation, it's a Shear. So, too, if you hold that the Uber is no different than any other part of the animal, so then it would be a shear if you didn't sell the Uber too. So that's simple, asked and answered. Kiti Bailach, so where's Rav Yirmiyah's question? Only according to the other opinion that says, Aliba Deman Diomar, the Uber Live Yerachimo. The Uber is a separate entity. It's not considered like the thigh of the animal. It's a separate entity within the mother animal. May, according to that opinion, that's where Rav Yirmiyah's question is being asked. May, what are the two sides of the coin over here? Do we say, Neymar Aminim, we say, Kivon de Mechuber, but since it's attached to the animal, so if you're retaining that, heavy shear. So you're retaining something that's attached to the animal. Or do we say, no, Odilma, Kivan de Lemifrash Binokoi, since eventually it's going to be separated from the mother animal is going to give birth, and the Uber will be a separate entity. So therefore, it's considered a separate entity from right now as well. And therefore, lo heavy shear, it's not considered something that is a shear that would make you not be chayiv dalavehe. That's Rav Yirmiyah's question. Mahu. Alternatively, Ika de Amre, they say, no, Kivan de Lav. Yerech Imahu, according to the opinion, says that Uber is not considered like the thigh of the animal. It's a separate entity. So, lo heavy shiur, it's not considered a shiur because it's not considered part of the mother. Or do we say, oh, Dilma? No. Kivan de tzarech, since it still needs the mother, ish taruye bahadu b'shlita, it needs to stay there until there is a shchita. If you don't do a shchita on the mother, so then if the animal dies, so the Uber is not considered a separate entity, then you can go and eat the Uber. No, it needs a shchita of the mother. So therefore, command the shear, begufadami. So it's considered as if it's still part of the animal. So even according to the opinion, it says, Uber, lav yerechimu, we have this machlokes, teku. More doesn't give us an answer. We leave this as unresolved. Another question, boy, Rav Papa. Rav Papa asks the following, shayla. What happens if a ganer stole an animal, ginova, and then kitor, he went and cut off one of its legs, a foreleg or a hind leg, he went and cut off one of the legs, and now he goes and sells it. So the question is this considered a full sale, because that's all that there is, or do we say, no, he amputated, he cut off one of the legs, and therefore, it is not a full sale, because he's only selling the rest of the animal. So mahu, that's the halacha, that's the question that Rav Papa wants to know. Mahu, what's the halacha in this situation? Me, I'm reading, and do we say, my degana, that which he stole, which was a full animal, holos oven, he didn't sell it. He sold it with one leg missing. So therefore, it's not a full sale. Or on the other hand, do we say, no, odilma, ma dezabin holoshir, that which he sold, there's nothing left. He sold the entire animal that's left. No, he cut off one of the legs, that leg is gone. So therefore, when he sells the animal, he's selling 100% of what's left of the animal. There's nothing that he left over. So again, we leave this also as an iboy, the loshitalei, take, we don't give an answer to this question. Tishbi, Atarits, Kushas, Yabai, so wait till Elio comes. And Harry Yemeni, you should come. And Harold Mashiach Tzakeno, and then we'll know all the answers. Tana Rabban, we learned another Braisa. Gana, what happens if a Gana went and stole something? The Nasan Li'acher, and he gives it to another person to shecht on his behalf. The Tavach, and that person goes and shechts on his behalf. So the person who shechts is acting his Shaliach. Or Gana, the guy steals something, Nebuch, the Nasan Li'acher, and he gives it to another person to sell on his behalf. Umacher, and that person then sells it on his behalf. And we turn to Ayin Tesam and Aleph. What is the Halach in these cases? Or Gonav, if the person stole something, and then he's vehiktish, he gives it over to hektish. Now, this is different than we had previously, where he was actually makdish the animal. Here, it's he stole something, but he's not making the animal. It's not, let's say, a tumim of a sheep, a goat, or a cow, which would automatically become a korban. But here, he's stolen something, and he goes and is makdish it to the Beis HaMikdash. So, it is now kotche berekabayis. Is this considered, in fact, a sale? He gave it over to Beis HaMikdash. So now this is Mechira, and he b'chayiv dala v'hei. Or Ganav, the guy steals something, v'hikiv, and then he sells it, but he doesn't get money for it. He gives it on credit. As Rashi says, in this situation, top Rashi, mochar b'yaman, he sells it on credit. V'yashray, v'lo ki bel domim, he's now owed that money. It's an IOU. He sold it for $100, but the guy didn't pay me at the $100. Or Ganav v'hichlif. Or he sold something and then he bartered it. He went and gave it to somebody else. Okay, I'll give you this sheep, but you give me a chair. So he exchanged it for something else. So he didn't actually get money for it. What's the halacha? Is it chayiv dala v'hei? Or Ganav, the guy Nebuch steals something. V'nasa matani, gives away as a gift. Is that considered mechira? Is a gift considered mechira or not? So Ganav uparachovo, or if somebody steals something, and then he uses what he stole to pay off a debt that he owed. So he is essentially selling it. So in all of these situations, the din will be he has to pay dollar the hay. The Braisa continues, what about if Ganav upara the hekefo? If the Ganav stole something, and then he paid for it for something that he already had taken possession of, which he had owed money for, and now he gives this as the payment for something that he had previously bought on credit. Or, Garnav, the guy Nebuch steals something, Vishalach Sivlonos Vimeis Chama, and he goes and gives this over to he has a kala, and he gives it over to them, it's presents to his father-in-law. So this is called Sivlonos. They used to have set types of presents that they would send over from the chasen to the prospective father-in-law. So he gives this as Sivlonos, so he's giving it over. Is this considered Mechira or not? In all of these situations, the Braisa tells us, yes, Meshalim Tashlumi Abba V'chamisha Nebuch, this Ganav over here, he's doing all of these things, they qualify as mechira, and he would pay dollar behei. Now, what's the chiddush over here? Aren't these all pretty obvious? Michael Mashmal, the Gemara says. So, Gemara says, Ashma Inon, it is coming to teach us in the first situation, in the first case, the Reisha, Ganav, the case where the Ganav stole something, Vinosan Li'acher V'tavach, and he gave it over to someone else and to go and shecht it, and then that person listened to him and shechted it, that even though this is a Shlichus Lidvar Aveira, nevertheless, the Yesh Shalich Lidvar Aveira in this situation, even though in general, Afogav de Becholator Kula, Ancient Lidvar Aveira, even though in general, if you tell somebody to go kill somebody and they go kill somebody, they're Chayav Misa, not you. You're a Rasha, but they're Chayav Misa. Here, even though you told them to do the Shechita and they did the Shechita, here you are held accountable and you pay Dalad Vehei. Why? Why is this case different over here? Hacha, yesh shliach l'dvar aveira. Here you do have a shliach for dvar aveira. Why? My timer. Because the pasuk says, utvacho, and again, the Gemara has the gear, so umecharo, it should be utvacho umecharo. And when the pasuk has them both together like this, it teaches us, ma mechira, by yourself, it's impossible to do this by yourself. There has to be somebody else involved in the mechira. You can't sell it to yourself. So by definition, there's a Reuven and a Shimon involved over here. So too, we have this juxtaposition to teach us, even though you're asking somebody else to go shecht it on behalf, and that normally would be a shlichus l'dvar aveira, which should not normally take effect. But here, af tvicha yidei acher is going to be mechayev. And likewise, we needed the last case, b'yashmin and sefer, towards the end of the cases, it had to tell us the case of Gonav Vihikdish, where the person stole something and then he gave it over to the Beis HaMikdash as Berek HaBayis. And in this situation, we have to teach us that this is considered a valid sale. After all, you might have thought that the Beis HaMikdash is not considered a sale, so it comes to teach us, Mali Mechor LeHedra, it doesn't make any difference if I sell it to Shimon, or Mali Mechor LeShamayim, or if I sell it, so to say, to the Beis HaMikdash, I give it over to the Beis HaMikdash as Berek HaBayis. So in that situation, it is considered a sale, and in all of these scenarios in the Braisa, it would be a Chiyuv of Dalid Vehei. This is a good break point. With this, we conclude today's share.